Hello, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and every so often I write a newsletter all about radio and its future and a little bit about its past, but mostly about its future, having a look where technology and radio are colliding. I've been off for a couple of weeks. Well, I was off last week in terms of the newsletter. I haven't been doing this podcast for the last couple of weeks, so sorry about that for the three listeners that I have. But still, there we are. It's back, and this time, let's talk about the UK, because they have released radio audience figures for the first time in 18 months. First time since the pandemic, and the first time since the launch of Time Radio and Boom Radio. Times Radio and Boom Radio. Time Radio was a small radio station in the middle of West London somewhere, I think. Anyway, Rajar is the company that does the data. They also took the opportunity to tweak the way that the data was collected. Rajar used to be wholly worked out by diaries, and they were mostly online. They weren't paper diaries. They're not that mad. People would note down in a table what stations they listened to and when. And that sounds hilariously arcane, but actually, it delivers really reliable figures. Rajar interviewed a fresh batch of 20,000 people for each survey. But in spite of that, the results are really quite consistent. If you take a look at the figures for Radio 2 or those for LBC, you'll find out how consistent they really are. They just are much the same every single time, even when you're talking to 20,000 entirely new people. Now, Rajar has done two things. Firstly, they've added a panel, which is survey parlance for asking people who we've asked before. Rajar has always conducted with at least one face-to-face interview, and a panel presumably helps them achieve their numbers during continuing pandemic-related issues. So that's something. Not quite sure how long that's going to last, but still, there we are. Secondly, they've added a PPM-like service. It's Ipsos's MediaCell app, which basically listens to the audio around you. PPMs don't measure what you remembered listening to. They measure what you might not have even noticed listening to. For example, if you wander into the shop and you're listening to the radio there for 3 minutes, that will count, even if you don't necessarily remember that you were listening to, you know, the Badger or whatever the radio station is. So, after all that, what's actually happened in the UK? Well, firstly, the Radio Academy sent out some lovely tweets on Rajar Day, and I really like them. The first time I've seen these tweets from the Radio Academy, I'll read it. It says, "Stations across the UK are right now getting their first proper audience figures for at least 2 years. It's a tense period, especially after all the hard work that's gone on during that time. The figures will be public tomorrow, but right now we just want you to know whether you win, lose or draw, your listeners love you and value your work so, so much. You are a vital part of the cultural fabric of this country, which is all the richer for the dedication and passion you put into it. Thank you and keep being incredible." What a fantastic tweet. Congratulations to the Radio Academy for doing that. That's a very good thing. Exactly the right message. And there's nobody else to really do that, is there? So congratulations to them. Really good. Now, the data was picked apart by both Adam Bowie and also by Matt Deegan. If you want to really dive into the data, that's worth doing on both of their blogs. Adam has a ton of graphs, which are all fancy and interactive, which are very nice. One of the things that I noticed in a graph that Matt published is just the uniformity now of radio's multi-platforms in the UK. Now, historically, DAB has suffered during drive time periods. You know, the internet is always later to peak than broadcast, and you can pretty well guarantee that all of this is going to happen. Actually, now, none of that happens. All of the platforms behave identically, and that's a really interesting thing to watch. Internet grows at much the same pace as AM/FM grows, and DAB grows even further. Really interesting to see. There's a bit of confusion around where breakfast is these days. Matt's graphs show Monday being peaking at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and he says that breakfast has moved to, or the morning peak has moved to 10 in the morning. Adam posts data from Monday to Friday, and that still shows that the weekday breakfast peak is still at 8 a.m. So maybe there's something that goes on Mondays that I'm not fully aware of. But in any case, if you hear people saying that breakfast has moved, you know, the peak has moved to 10 in the morning, I'm not quite so sure that the data necessarily shows that. But the headlines are also that younger audiences are declining again. New radio stations Times Radio posted a very creditable initial reach figure of 637,000, which is good. Boom Radio posted 233,000. They have very, very loyal audience listening, 7.8 hours a week, which is very, very high. So congratulations to both of those. Both of those stations are fascinating models. Boom has no studios, no offices of any kind. Every presenter contributes from home. It's funded as a standard radio station is with ads. Times Radio is operated by the same company as owns the Times newspaper in the UK. It's News Corp. It's another Rupert Murdoch thing. And it is purely financed by sponsorship and by Times subscription. So you'll never hear a 30-second ad on there selling you double glazing or windows or tiles, which is a good thing. So there's lots to think about there, I think. Also, news from Australia. Foxtel, which is the Australian equivalent of Sky or Dish TV, now has more subscribers by streaming IP than it does via cable or satellite broadcast. And the internet infrastructure here in Australia is run by a government-owned operator called the NBN, which ISPs rent space from. That has held up quite comfortably too. It's been challenged during the pandemic, but not fallen over, which is probably a good thing. If you care about such things, you can even see my local connection to the internet in my newsletter this time around and how congested it is. Fascinating to see. There are lots of people who will go out and tell you that broadcast needs to survive, and there's a long future for broadcast, and that the internet will fall over if everybody moves over onto the internet. Well, that's going on at the moment in terms of Foxtel here in Australia, and the internet is not falling over, and things are good. So interesting to see. Also, ad man Bob Hoffman has written about his approach to advertising. He writes about the three-word advertising brief. Now, I used to do write advertising a long, long time ago, and I had a three-word brief that I used to take, which was who, what, and why. Who are we talking to? What do we want them to do? Why do we want them to do it? His is a rather simpler three-word brief, which is make me famous. Bob writes really well. I love the type of stuff that he writes. It's well worth a read. You'll find that in the show notes and in my newsletter this week. Fred Jacobs writes, if radio won't reinvent itself, maybe someone else will. And he points out that AMFM's inertia, tradition and habit is harming its future. I spelt inertia wrong, I've just noticed. And I think Fred is absolutely right. I think one of the frustrating things about radio is that you go to these exciting conferences, even if they bother to go to these exciting conferences, you hear lots of interesting new ideas. And then everybody goes, oh, that was interesting. And then they go back to their offices and they carry on doing stuff the way that they've always done it. You know, 10 great songs in a row and... no repeat work day and all this kind of nonsense. And actually, there's probably other things going on. So Fred's absolutely right there. Finally for this week, my friends at AccuRadio contacted me with a terrible idea. They sent me an email, which I turned into a press release just so that I could host it. So AccuRadio is a radio service. It's got apps, it's got websites and things like that, which is a ton of humanly curated music streams and quite well worth a listen. It's a very good service. But anyway, there was a viral news service not so long ago, a viral news story, I should say, not so long ago from a Dallas bar. And they said that Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is not to be played until December the 1st and only then once per evening. And that was a big story that was covered by CNN and the Today Show on NBC and various other things. And that's very exciting. Well, so AccuRadio thought, right, hold my beer. So they have launched a new radio station called One Song Radio, All I Want for Christmas Is You. And it's only that song. Now, that sounds pretty dreadful. It's not quite as dreadful as it seems, because it's only that song as performed by a dozen of artists. So, yes, there is obviously Carey doing it, but also everybody from Dolly Parton to Michael Bublé, Lady A, whoever he or she is, Justin Bieber, Straight No Chaser, no idea. She in Here, My Chemical Romance, many others. So there we are, and that's an entire radio station full of All I Want for Christmas Is You, which they think is a very clever idea, and I think it's dreadful. But still, there you go. There are other stations available on AccuRadio, and they make up for that one terrible mistake. Also, I link to an article that I wrote elsewhere about all the things Twitter knows about me, which I found fascinating. There's so much information that Twitter knows about me, some of which I'm quite comfortable with, some of which I am very most certainly not. But there we are. Last time in my newsletter, I wrote a lot about AM radio, and that has been handsomely rewarded in coffee. buymeacoffee.com/James Cridland. Phil Riley from Boom Radio, Chris Stevens from Ignite Jingles, and Dusty Rhodes from Dust Pod are all firmly in the camp of excellent people, so far as I'm concerned, as they bought me enough coffee to keep me in caffeine for a while. So thank you very much, all three of you. And also thank you to Richard Hilton and to Rupert Brun, Brun Audio Consulting, for your ongoing support of this newsletter and podcast. I'm very grateful to you. If you would like to support my work in any way, you can buy me a coffee. You can become a member to give regularly, like Richard or Rupert has done, and you don't have to start with an R. Or you can just give a one-off coffee or five. It's buymeacoffee.com/James Cridland, at least I think it is. Let me just double-check, because it might be slightly embarrassing if it's not. No, it is. There you go. buymeacoffee.com/James Cridland. And my professional website is james.crid. No, it's not. It's james.cridland.net, which has more details about who I am, what I do, and whether I can help you further, like, you know, edit audio, except the point of this is that I don't edit. So that's it for this week. Thank you for listening, and keep listening.